Deuteronomy chapter 34. It's the last chapter in Deuteronomy. We're going to learn and we're going to look at the homecoming of Moses. I'm hearing wind through this mic, and it's because the windscreen has been taken off. We lost it. We should have another one back there somewhere. We'll get it put on, Tim. All right, Deuteronomy, chapter 34, beginning in verse number 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah. This is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs of and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. What we have here is the recounting of the last days of Moses. Moses was, as you know, he was born a babe at a time when Pharaoh was killing all the babies in Egypt. So God spared Moses. God had a plan for Moses back then. So he was put into a basket, sent on the river, and Pharaoh's daughter picked him up and took him in as her own. And he grew up very well schooled, very well educated in Egypt. Then through when he found out about his Hebrew roots and started sympathizing towards the Hebrew nation, and he killed the taskmaster that was beating the Israelites, he went out into the wilderness. And it's often said that in our walk, when we come to Jesus, we need to go into that wilderness ourselves. We go through a desert period in our own lives. Well, at this time, God had another plan for Moses. Still the same plan, but this was the second phase of his plan. This is where Moses actually learned about God. This is where he came to God and he realized what God wanted him to do. So him, along with Aaron, went back into Egypt and secured the release of the Israelites. So that's where Passover had happened. They left Egypt and came to the Red Sea. And what did they say at the Red Sea? The children of Israel. You got to love the children of Israel. Because God, these are God's chosen people. God has bent over backwards for them, but they complain. They murmured. Every time, it seems like, every time you read the story of Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness, you hear them complaining about this thing or that thing. You get to the Red Sea. Well, you brought us, here comes Pharaoh's armies. And, you know, sure enough, that would kind of be unsettling to me. The Pharaoh's army is coming down on them. They've got a body of water in front of them. What are they going to do? Swim across it? No, God had his plan. What did he do? He stopped the Egyptians with a pillar of fire, opened up the Red Sea, split it in two, dry land all the way through, and allowed the Israelites to go on through. Then he took down the pillar of fire. Here comes the chariots through. And I love the scene in the movie The Ten Commandments as they're going through this sea. You see them all looking up. and all this water standing up there. And then all of a sudden it comes crashing down on them. You see, this wasn't some Hollywood movie trick. This was the hand of God holding that water back. Could you imagine walking, if you will, through that Red Sea, the path that God gave you to go down, and looking on either side of you, seeing fishes staring back at you? All right? That would have been an awesome sight. But as they're still wandering through, they got hungry for whatever. They got thirsty. God provided every need as they were going through. This is true of our lives. We go day to day. God provides for us. It starts with their first breath in the morning. We wake up. How many of you, when you went to sleep last night, had any concern about waking up this morning? You know, in today's day and age, there's a lot of people that are so concerned. If I go to sleep, I'm going to die. You know what? If you're a child of God, you don't have to worry about that. Because if you don't wake up here, you're going to wake up there. You're going home. That's what today is about. It's about coming home. Homecoming is today. 23 years, this church has stood as a light in this dark city, the city of sin. Moses here spent 120 years taking these people throughout the wilderness. And I'm sure Moses, maybe he was getting tired at the time things happened, but we see here in Deuteronomy chapter 34, as they're recounting, Jesus took them up to Mount Nebo, which is the highest peak in the Pisgah mountain range there in Israel. And from there, you could see all of the land of Israel, all of the promised land that God promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Moses saw all this, and God allowed him to look on where he was leading the children of Israel. But if you remember, Moses sinned. He didn't trust God. When God told him to go up to the rock and speak to the rock, Moses said, no, I'm going to strike the rock again. He struck it twice. And water came gushing out. You see, if you go over to Numbers chapter 20, God tells you himself, excuse me, chapter 20, did I lose my way? Nope. It's right here. Chapter 20. And you go to verse number 12. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. You see, God himself says, you guys messed up. You didn't believe in me. You didn't trust my words. It wasn't that Moses struck the rock. That's not why he didn't get to see that land or go into that land. It wasn't because he got angry. It's because he did not believe what God said. Just speak to the rock. How many of us during our life in today's day and age going through this pandemic, God says, don't worry. I got this. I'm in control. How many of us still worry? You know, I'm not working. I'm losing money. My business is going to shut down. Where's God in all this? You hear it all the time. If God loves us so much, why is this happening? It's happening not because of God. It's happening because we're sinners. Because way back when in the Garden of Eden, our forefathers, the first two people on this earth, they chose to sin. Eve gave in to temptation. Adam, right there with her, chose to eat of that fruit. We were pondering yesterday during Kylie's shower, what would have happened if Adam and Eve in the garden had eaten of the tree of life also? This world would be total chaos. God would have had to destroy this world. But if you remember, Moses talked to God face to face and he says, God, spare these people. God is a merciful God. God allows us to go through things. He doesn't cause them. He allows us to experience things so that we can learn. Maybe someone's looking at us and how we deal with it to learn. You see, it's not all about us. It's about God. Do we trust our Creator? Do we trust the person that sent His Son to die on that cross for us? Do we, as we're getting ready to celebrate 23 years here, do we look at this and do we say, praise God, but now we need to change, God, because we need to start entertaining people to make this church grow? You know what? It's easier for us if we'll just let God work, do what He asks us to do, and trust Him that He will bring the increase. Because after all, we got to go plant the seed. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be about our Father's business. Now, here's a good note on this. In studying this, God laid something on my heart, and I want to share it with you. It's not a revelation. It's nothing like that. But if someone says, I had a revelation, run. Anyhow, here is something that we need to realize. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was two people up there with him, with Jesus. Elijah and Moses. God forgave Moses. How do we know that? Because when Jesus showed His true self to Peter, James, and John, who was there? Moses, in the middle of the promised land. Now, let's go even further in the future, going into Revelation, in the book of Revelation. God says there's going to be two witnesses that are going to be able to spit fire out of their mouths should they come under attack. One of those, I believe, is Elijah. The other one, I believe, is Moses. Again, Jesus is allowing Moses into the promised land. Jesus Himself buried Moses. Now, why did Jesus bury Moses and where He wanted to bury him? Because people would have worshipped him. Think about it now. How many people think they see Elvis all over the place? How many people flocked to the gravesite or to the funeral for Michael Jackson? Famous people all the time are being elevated to God status, little g, to God status, when they're no better than you and I. This is reality. We're all sinners, folks. You may have Jesus Christ in your heart, but we're still sinners. We still deal with this flesh. This flesh gets us into trouble. But praise God, He opened the door through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we can go right to the throne of the Father, kneel before Him, confess our sins, and ask forgiveness. That's our hope. That's our joy. You see, God didn't say we're going to be happy every day of our lives. He just said He put joy in us. Joy of His love. Perfect love casts out fear. That is an awesome saying. So as you're going day to day, and maybe there's something that's just nagging at you saying, God, why is it taking so long to act in this? Why won't you answer me? You know what? God's working. Do you have... I want to make sure I say this right. Do you have the faith in God to take your hands off of it and say, okay, God, if I put my hands in it, I'm going to break it. I'm going to make it worse. God, today we celebrate 23 years here, and thank you, Jesus, for Lone Mountain Missionary Baptist Church. I thank you for all the preachers that have stood in this pulpit and proclaim the gospel, not wavering from the truth. Today, I thank God for people like Moses, for people like Joshua, for people like Peter, James, John, all the 12 apostles. But I thank God mainly for His Son. Because if it wasn't for His Son, we would have no reason to come and be part of the family of God. We would have no way to do that.